Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis, text number 7. Nana Aranya Pashu Vrata Sankula Droni Alankrita Chitra Druma Sura Udanya Kalakanta Vihangama Nanaranya Pashuvrata Sankula Dronya Lankrita Chitra Druma Surodhyana Kalakanta Vihangama Nanaranya Pashuvrata Sankula Dronya Lankrita Chitra Druma Surodhyana Kalakanta Vihangamaha Nana, with varieties of Aranyapashu, jungle animals, Vrata, with a multitude, Sankula, filled, Droni, with valleys, Alankrita, very beautifully decorated, Chitra, with varieties of Druma, trees, Sura Udyana, in gardens maintained by the demigods, Kalakanta, sweetly chirping, Ihangama, birds. Translation: the valleys beneath Trikuta Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals. And in the trees, which are maintained in the gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices. Text 8. I'm just going to read the translations. Trikuta Mountain has many lakes and rivers, with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. Purport. Even in the material world, there are many grades of living entities. The human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. But here we find that because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, the lakes, the breeze, and the entire atmosphere of Trikuta Mountain also becomes fragrant. Since the bodies of the damsels in the upper planetary systems are so beautiful, we can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels or the damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. Texts 9-13. In the valley of Trikuta Mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. This garden, Ritu means season, by the way, and Mat, I guess, varieties of seasons. This garden belonged to a great devotee, Varuna, and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruits grew there in all seasons. Among them were mandaras, parijatas, Patalas, Ashokas, Champakas, Chutas, Pilayas, Panasas, Mangoes, Amratakas, Karamukas, coconut trees, date trees, and pomegranates. There are Marukas, palm trees, Tamalas, Asanas, Arjunas, Aristas, Udumbaras, Plakshas, banyan trees, Kimsukas, and sandalwood trees. There are also Pikumardas, Kovidaras, Saralas, Saradarus, grapes, sugarcane, bananas, jambu, Badaris, Akshas, Abayas, and Amalakis. In that garden, there was a very large lake filled with shining golden lotus flowers, and the flowers known as Kumuda, Kalara, Utpala, and Shaptapatra, which added excellent beauty to the mountain. There are also Bilva, Kapita, Jambira, Balataka trees. Intoxicated bumblebees drank honey and hummed with chirping of the birds, whose songs were very melodious. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, chakravakas, cranes, and flocks of water chickens, dayuhas, koyastis, and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movement of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kandamba flowers, vitasa flowers, nalas, nipas, vankulakas, kundas, korubakas, ashokas, shirisas, kutajas, ingudas, kabjakas, swarayudis, nagas, punagas, jatis, malikas, shaptapatras, jalakas, and madhavilatas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated. So please repeat that. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Judging from the exhaustive description of the lakes and rivers on Trikuta Mountain, on Earth there is no comparison to their super excellence. On other planets, however, there are many such wonders. For instance, we understand that there are 2 million different types of trees, and not all of them are exhibited on Earth. Srimad Bhagavatam presents the total knowledge of the affairs of the universe. It not only describes this universe, but also takes into account the spiritual world beyond the universe. No one can challenge the Srimad Bhagavatam's description of the material and spiritual worlds. The attempts to go from the earth to the moon have failed, but the people of earth can understand what exists on other planets. There is no need of imagination when they take actual knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and be satisfied. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaputa Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Vijarane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarne. There are 10 different types of authority or evidence, of which 3 are the main types of evidence. One is called pratyaksha, direct perception, that which we can perceive with our senses. Modern society, more or less, is quite enthusiastic to take authority from the senses, because that's their main business, is sense gratification. Unfortunately, the senses, when they're engaged in sense gratification, they cannot perceive things properly. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jayato Vishayam Pum Sam Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangas Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krodo Bajayate. That just by the desire to become involved in the senses, that desire covers the living entities. It acts both as the covering of one's consciousness and also works to help us commit all kinds of mistakes. Therefore, it is said that the conditioned soul, he has 4 principal defects. One is he has imperfect senses. His senses are imperfect because avritam gana etena gana no nityavarina kama rupena kunteya dus prena analena cha. Because his consciousness is covered by lust, kama. Or as Maharishi Shabdev says, paravas tavaravoda jato yavane jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavati dhammanovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. That as long as one is involved in the material nature, not trying to purify his consciousness, then he is defeated by ignorance. And ignorance covers his consciousness. Just like a cloud covers the sun, and because of the clouds covering the sunlight is not perceivable. So in the same way, when the living entity is covered by ignorance, which is principally due to his desire to enjoy the material nature, because of his not knowing what is actually desirable. Therefore, he can either understand things properly because his senses are imperfect, and he is subject to illusion for the same reason. He thinks himself to be the body because he is in ignorance. And at the same time, he commits so many mistakes because the material nature also is pushing living entity to act in so many different ways in ignorance. And ultimately, because he's bewildered, he's thinking he knows everything. So he's cheating. He doesn't know anything, but he's presenting something as knowledge, which is factually ignorance, and that's called cheating. So with the knowledge based upon pratyaksha, for the conditioned soul at least, it's an imperfect source of knowledge. But this is called the empirical approach to things, and it has gotten quite a bit of propaganda and publicity. Therefore, everyone wants to understand things through the working of their senses. And somehow or another, people have blind faith that the scientists actually understand things. That they think that the scientists are self-realized. That they've seen everything. They've seen themselves, they've seen this world, they've seen everything. They have faith, although it is also dogmatic faith, because they don't see any scientific... Who's the example of a self-realized scientist? There's no examples of the acharyas amongst the scientists who are self-realized. Generally, they're not... No scientist is put forward as the example of a self-realized person, because their main business is just to get money anyhow. That's their main business. Somehow or another, get money by hook or crook. I remember I went to the University of Buffalo and my major was psychology, and they were doing studies at the university, and one of the studies, oh, not at that university, I actually heard about another study. They were studying, and they spent $90,000 on the study. The United States government gave a grant for $90,000 to investigate why spiders build webs. And after spending $90,000, they came up to the conclusion, believe it or not, that the reason why spiders build webs was to catch flies. So this is their main business. It's not self-realization, it's getting money for sense gratification. But another type of knowledge is called anuman, or inference, trying to understand things not through direct perception only, but by understanding through through indirect understanding of things. For instance, the sun appears to be just a little disk in the sky to our vision, but by inferring, we can understand that it's actually millions of times greater than this earth planet. But that's also imperfect, because it more or less relies upon imperfect senses, and then you make inferences from observations. So one may be very expert at making inferences, deducting things, but if the original knowledge is faulty, then it's useless also. So what's recommended is Shabda Praman in the Vedic literature, hearing from authority. The problem is, in modern society, no one accepts anyone as an authority. Of course, everyone accepts authority. But no one accepts anyone as an absolute authority, that people have actually seen the truth. And indeed, practically speaking, in modern society, who has actually seen the truth? According to Bhagavad Gita, the truth begins with Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. Krishna says one who has Vidya and Vinaya, one who's actually seen the truth, he can understand that the learned, gentle Brahmin, the cow, the dog eater, and the elephant, he can see them all as spiritual beings. So why is that? It is not that he's gone into the laboratory and he's taken the dog eater, the elephant, the cow, and the Brahmin and dissected them and found within them a little spark and concluded that within each one of them is a spiritual being. Now he sees because he acts according in a way that controls his mind and senses. This is also said, Chitatmana Prasantatma Paramatma Samahita Chitoshna Dukha Sukadukeshu Tatamana Pamanayo. Well, actually, there's not. Jitendriya. Is that verse? Anyhow, for one who has conquered the senses, the super souls are already reached. But there's another verse which says that a self-realized soul, he's very dear to one who has conquered the senses, who has become self-control, he's very dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a person is never entangled. Because the self-realized person, he acts as if everyone is Krishna's eternal servant and acts appropriately, therefore he develops the proper knowledge. Because in other words, knowledge is obtained not by dissecting things on the physical platform or even by speculating with one's mind about what one's observations. It's obtained by practical action in the material world in such a way that purifies one's consciousness. In other words, in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by explaining Adambi Dvam Amadi Dvam Adambi Dvam Hingsa Shanti Arjavam Acharyopasanam Socham Stiryam Atman Vinigraha. Krishna gives different qualities of obtaining knowledge, beginning with humility and Amadi Dvam Adambi Dvam, freedom from illusion or pride, Ahimsa, nonviolence, Arjavam, simplicity, cleanliness. There are ways of acting in the material world in such a way as to purify one's consciousness. And when the consciousness becomes purified, then one can see things as they are. For most sane people, that should be obvious. Unfortunately, modern society is not based upon sanity. It's based upon more or less sense gratification, which according to the Bhagavad Gita, according to the Maharaj Rishabhdev, makes one insane. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yet indriya pritaya aprinoti. The people are become insane because they're enthusiastic for sense gratification. Therefore, although they claim to be logical and consistent and very unbiased and scientific, but actually they're just, these modern scientists, it's just as crazy as everyone else's. And because they're mad, they speak all kinds of mad things, and other mad people become very enthusiastic. You just have to go to the current rock concerts and hear all the crazy things people are saying. And other crazy people become more enthusiastic. The crazier people say things, the crazier the things that are said, the more people become enthusiastic. So here, it's explaining that something beyond our current experience. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The question is, who do we accept as an authority? Who, what are we hearing? So Shabda Praman means to hear from some authority and to accept that as evidence. Just like, who here has been to the moon planet in this lifetime? So of course it would be probably unpopular to ask who believes that they went to the moon planet, at least here. But if we, someone raised their hand, then probably the devotees wouldn't talk to them for a while. But if you ask people in general, how many people believe you went to the moon, that they've gone to the moon planet? Many people believe that they've gone to the moon planet. but not that they have any experience. Of course, they may have some experience. They think that by watching it on television, that's experience. But nowadays, as we know, that you can make anything by you can produce any kind of evidence. You can show, you know, someone taught, you know, what's his name? Who's the president of the United States now? Clinton. You can show Clinton offering obeisances between right on a movie, on a video nowadays. You can doctor in such a way that Clinton walks into the into Radha Desh and offers obeisances to Radha Gopina. And show it on, you know, on Mukunda Maharaj's video, his news. So that type of evidence is not always acceptable. Because last time I was here, I saw some video of the astronauts landing on the moon planet, and they jumped out of their spaceship and they landed directly on the moon. They just, as quickly as you jump out of a building and land on the Earth. But unfortunately, they made a mistake because there's not supposed to be any atmosphere on the moon. They were supposed to have floated down, but they made some mistake, so they had to change it. And then also there was another nice thing when he planted the flag on the moon. The flag hit him in the face because of the wind. But then they remembered there's not supposed to be any wind on the moon. So they had to take that out. Yeah. That was the original one they put out. So they made a few mistakes, but still, if you're going to spend $55 billion, you know, eventually you'll get it right. If not the moonshot, at least you'll get the video right. So it's a question of who you want to accept. Now why, after seeing something like that, or even hearing about it, people have still have faith? Why? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tasmaragana sambhutam ritstam jnana chidatmanaha chidvayanam samchayam yogam atishto tishtabharata. That these doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So these doubts, they arise out of ignorance. Doubts about the fact that there's another reality beyond the senses. But people who are absorbed in sense gratification, for them, it's quite threatening to think that there's some other activity beyond sense gratification. Or as it is said, Matirna Krishna Parataksatova. People don't want to hear about Krishna. They don't want to believe in Krishna. Why? Matirna Krishna Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Kriha Vratana. Because they have faith that if I somehow or another can make a good arrangement by having a strong, healthy body, nice job, prestige, nice family, if I can make an arrangement in the material world based upon this bodily conception, then I'll be able to enjoy sense gratification. And on top of that, I'll be able to enjoy the pleasure of thinking myself to be the lord of the material world. Then in spite of the fact, for billions of years I got kicked around by Maya, somehow or another, finally I made an arrangement and now I can enjoy. So the living entity, he stubbornly wants to believe that the only method of happiness is sense gratification. Therefore, an inclination to become Krishna conscious is never aroused within him. Instead, he's Adanta Gobhir. He's completely fixed in satisfying his senses. He's become a servant of his senses in spite of the fact that they never satisfy him. And they never stop demanding more and more gratification, although the more one gratifies his senses, less and less one understands things as they are, and less one feels happy or satisfied. So here it's mentioning something that goes beyond our experience, but just as a materialist, he has to accept others as an authority because his experience is quite limited, because his senses are limited, because his consciousness is limited, he has to accept someone. So modern people, they accept scientists as the authority. And the scientists, they say, well, we looked through our instruments and we saw the atom look like this and the proton look like that. Of course, they've never seen these things either. Although people don't realize it, just like they have the atom, So everyone thinks that the atom looks like there's some proton, there's some neutron, there's a big ball in the center, like a ping pong ball, a lot of ping pong balls stuck together, and then there's electrons circulating around it or some electrons. That's the picture. But no one has ever seen that. It is simply an artist's imagination, and the only thing they've ever seen is they think they've taken some particle and they've hit the atom, so-called atom, and something came out. So all they've seen is what came out when they hit something. So that doesn't mean that that's what came out was what was in. That's the only thing that's in there. The example is used just like if you take a dog and you beat it with a stick, then out from the dog will come woofs. But that doesn't mean a dog is made out of woofs. So similarly, by simply bombarding an atom and something coming out and looking on a screen and saying that's what an atom is, that's simply imagination. So the whole scientific approach is more or less based upon imagination, and when you come down to it, most of it is just science fiction. But science fiction is quite popular nowadays, and people spend a lot of money for it, hundreds of billions of dollars. But, of course, and then people say, well, you're unscientific. But we don't deny science. We give them some credit. Just like the scientists, they can do something. They can build a computer. They can build an airplane. But that's about the limit. They can build an atomic reactor. But these things actually are not quite removed from ourselves. In other words, by such knowledge, it doesn't mean that they understand the self anymore. Because as we can see, that in spite of the fact that they have airplanes, people aren't any happier. Since the living entity, he doesn't want to simply have a nice airplane. He wants happiness. He wants, he wants happiness, he wants security, and he wants awareness how to get happiness and security. But modern society has not increased at all by airplanes and computers and toasters, whatever else they have, hasn't even added anything to security or happiness or even knowledge of how to get those things. If you fly an airplane, you don't feel any happier or more secure. Anyone who's right, some people may feel a little happier or secure, but I personally don't. If you, by the fact that you have an atomic reactor next to you, most people don't feel more happy or secure. It doesn't add anything to our experience. Therefore, people are spending so much money, so much effort, so much endeavor, making so many conferences and so many different ideas about how to become more happy and secure in the material world. But the fact is, punak punas charvita charvinanam, it is simply the same chewing the chewed. Prabhupada said, as I think the Śrīla Prabhupāda wrote in his Vyas Pūj, that the killing people with modern weapons, throwing bombs from an airplane, is not a big advancement over savages throwing rocks and knocking people on the head with a rock. So if you think, well, he died scientifically, they dropped a bomb on him from an airplane, so it wasn't so bad as if a savage hit him and broke his head. It's quite an improvement. But actually, it's the same thing. It is simply the same thing, but it's described in more poetic language by the scientists, that's all. It is the same eating, the same sleeping, the same mating, the same defending, but just a little bit more scientifically done. Prabhupada once gave the example that if a group of thieves, they go in and rob a bank with a pistol, they're thieves. And if another group of thieves do it scientifically, with a computer, they're still a thief. It's not that in front of the judge, my dear judge, he stole with a pistol. It was not very nice. But this thief, he did it scientifically. He deserves some honor for it. He did it artistically. So, the point is that modern society, people are accepting these so-called leaders because simply because they have hope, that in the future these so-called authorities, they'll be able to produce sense gratification in a more sophisticated way. On the other hand, Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with the science of the self, which necessitates changing one's activities to understand what's going on. Or in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ukramantam sthitim vapi bhunjana vabhunanvitaha vimura nanapa shanti pa shanti gyana chakshusha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how a Levanti quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. The foolish, they cannot understand how a Levanti quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained in knowledge, he can see all this clearly. So in other words, there's a training that can be done, but it means that one has to control his senses. It means he has to reject this paradigm, this conception that happiness is based upon sense gratification, and he has to take another standard, that happiness is based upon not sense gratification, but tapasya, brahmacharyena, samena cha, damena cha. That happiness is based upon controlling the senses, controlling the mind, being clean, being austere, coming to a different platform of experience in that way. But unless one takes to that process, it's not possible to perceive the experience. On the other hand, if we have our foot on one side, I'm not going to give up my sense gratification, and at the same time I want to experience Krishna consciousness, it's just like having one's foot on the boat and one's foot on the land, and the boat's pulling out. Eventually one has to choose. If one doesn't want to wind up in the water, either you jump on the boat or you jump on the land. So similarly, if we want to understand something beyond our present-day experience, then we have to take to the process of tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha tyagena satya socha avyam namena niyamena va. One has to begin with tapasya, austerity. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the austerity a little easier, dancing, chanting, and feasting. But still, people don't want to do that. They're too lazy. Dancing, chanting, and feasting, that's too austere. I'd rather just sit on my couch in front of the television and flick the little button and have the one-eyed guru tell me what to do. Simply, I sit and I listen in samadhi in front of my television, and the one-eyed guru instructs me. And then if I have enough energy, I drink some beer during the television program to add to the atmosphere what's on television. So this is what people more or less, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya upadrutaha. People are so lazy, if they're invited to come, take some nice prasadam, dance and chant, they say, oh, this is too austere. This is too much. I can't go so far away. I just can't do it. And if you tell that if by doing this you get eternal life, you get full of bliss and full of knowledge, people think, oh, it's not worth the effort. Of course, this is because people are quite heavenly conditioned by their experience. They doubt. But Prabhupada said if the devotees go out enthusiastically to preach, simply based upon seeing the devotees' enthusiasm and their determination, that people become struck with wonder, and on that basis they purchase the books. Simply by seeing someone coming from a seemingly a different planet, a different atmosphere, people become struck with wonder and then they want to purchase the books. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes Vaikuntha Goloka Vrindavan, but factually speaking, to have faith in such places is not so easy. Unless one has factual experience on the transcendental platform, can perceive those places by direct perception and experience the transcendental environment, then it's not possible. And even if one hears about these places with all these fruits and vegetables and birds, most people won't take it very seriously. They immediately label it as mythology. Because if there are all these places, then the earth is not actually the center of the universe. It's not actually the standard of life, what's going on here. We are not actually the most advanced civilization. It's actually probably never really considered that modern society is a civilization. Although people claim that it's a civilization, because most people don't, the only thing that makes it a civilization is that most of the things that they do don't go on in the street, that's all. So far, some of the things do. But it's not civilized at all. It is simply animal society. Most people are Naradamas. They're animals who are a little dressed nicely. Because sometimes nowadays they dress the animals better than they do themselves. People don't think at all if the dog comes up and eats right out of their plate, they think, oh, it's cute. The dog comes and licks you on the face, you think it's love. He licks other parts of his body and then comes up and licks your face and you think, oh, how cute. He loves me. And they think this is civilization. And they take a cow, which gives milk. Every part of the cow is useful to human society, and they kill it after it stops giving milk. And they think this is perfectly natural. They glorify it. How many cows McDonald's hamburgers is slaughtered? They make big, big propaganda about it. And if you had to open a restaurant, you know, Dog Heaven, and talk about how many dog burgers you served out, immediately they come and arrest you. How dare he does such abominable activities? But even they kill their own children. They kill cows, they kill any animal. The only animal that's spared, usually, are the dogs. And they think that's advanced. And cats, usually. The lowest animals, dogs and cats, are given all protection. Human beings, hardly any protection. Children in the womb, no protection. Cows, all the useful animals, higher advanced animals, no protection. And they call it civilization. It is said that even the Rakshashas and other low-type creatures, they condemn modern people. So in the midst of this society, we're so puffed up, thinking how advanced we are and sophisticated, etc., etc. And we think that this is a standard. And we hear some other description coming from another authority, and immediately is rejected as mythology. Can't be, not possible. It can't be. Although this authority, there's a practical method of that everyone can obtain experience and get some other realm of perception by certain methodology, by certain practices. But 99.9% of the people, they have no opportunity by following the scientists of getting any higher experience. It is the same experience over and over again. All the scientists say that will give you some method by which you'll be able to eat better and sleep better and have sex better and defend yourself better. And that's it. And most of the emphasis is upon defense, and that's it. Because as far as eating, what improvement has possibly come about in eating? Now they have genetic engineering, so they're splicing rat genes with the cucumbers. Add a little spice to the cucumbers to get a rat gene in it. Or whatever else, giraffe gene, whatever else they put into it. And they think that this is improvement. It doesn't taste any better. It just becomes bigger. The tomato, just like nowadays they have tomatoes, they look like watermelons. It doesn't taste better. It may look better to some people, Inside, it's not better. It's just full of chemicals. But it's heavier, and it looks better, and people spend more money for it, and therefore they create it. And after you eat it, 10 years down the line, you know, you have all kinds of things growing in your body from it. And they think that this is improvement. So who thinks it's improvement? I don't, you know, this is because people are mad, because they're crazy. They think it's an improvement. They don't have to work. They put some TV dinner into the oven, some dead animal that they don't even know what it is, probably a combination of different parts of the animal they threw out, and someone picked them up and put them into the TV dinner. And it's 10 years old, or it's left over from the last war. And they have to put all different coloring in it so people don't get, they can still eat it after looking at it. And they have these peas and these all kinds of different types of vegetables, frozen peas, whatever. And people eat it and they think they're enjoying it. They think there's an advancement. They don't have to eat fresh food anymore, prepared with some feeling, you know, that was actually cooked according to the proper temperature. They don't have to do that anymore. They can eat some frozen dead animal who died in fear and horror, you know, years ago, you know, and they think that there's advancement. As far as sleeping goes, people generally, they can't sleep anymore, as I've mentioned many times. In America, on the average, I think the average American takes 27 pills a day. And the most popular one is aspirin, of course, and sleeping pills and tranquilizers. Tranquilizers are number one, I think. And then comes aspirin. So they take a pill to go to sleep. Then they take a pill to wake up. And then they have to take another pill to counteract the effects of the two other pills they just took. And then they have to take a tranquilizer because the last three pills didn't work. And they think that there's advancement. So the fact is that by following modern society, according to the scientific vision, one doesn't become happy, he doesn't become secure, he doesn't get anything but more problems, more and more problems. But if one follows the Krishna consciousness path that's chalked out by the Mahajans, by the authorities, then the result is that one will come to a higher level of consciousness, and even on this planet, one will be able to enjoy freedom from anxiety and inner happiness, which is obtained only on the higher planetary systems, and eventually one will even come to the spiritual platform by which he can enjoy tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam chudyat tasmai brahma sokyam tunantam, where one can enjoy unlimited spiritual happiness which goes on forever. So even the most neophyte devotee, even a newcomer, if he especially chants Hare Krishna, takes prasadam, worships the deity in that way, hears Srimad Bhagavatam, comes to a holy place such as Radha Desh, if he associates with the devotees, that if he does those things, hears Srimad Bhagavatam, then he can experience immediately a different state of consciousness which clears away the cobwebs of material ignorance, enables one to understand things more clearly. So Prabhupada Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura especially wanted the devotees to go out and chant Hare Krishna. Because simply by hearing the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra chanted by the devotees, people get a different experience, different realm of consciousness. And if they read these books, if after hearing the Hare Krishna mantra and taking some prasadam, if they read these books, then there will be some faith in these books develop, and they'll get a new direction in life. And by taking that direction, one will gradually come to the spiritual platform. One will come at least beyond the modes of ignorance and passion to the mode of goodness, understand what heavenly existence is like, and eventually one will become encouraged even to come to the spiritual platform by which all his problems can be solved. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Well, ignorance is giving us direction. material nature acts in two ways. Prakyapshika Shakti and Avaratmika Shakti. So with Avaratmika Shakti, material nature covers the living entity just like a cloud covers the vision of a person from the sun. And Prakyapshika Prashekatmika Shakti, the material nature pushes the living entity in a certain direction. Principally, she works through the mind with material conceptions. And the more one becomes attached to some material conception, desire, which manifests as thinking, feeling, willing, then the more material nature entangles one into material activities. Because of ignorance, the living entity identifies himself with different thoughts which come through the mind. And the more it becomes identified with the thoughts, then the next state is that it manifests itself as feeling. And as he identifies with himself with the feelings, then it manifests itself further as willing. So through the mechanism of the material nature, the more the living entity is absorbed in the bodily and material conceptions of life, mental and material and bodily conceptions of life, the more he becomes entangled. So it's due to his attachment, the absorption of these mental conceptions, that he becomes entangled in the material world. So this is all due to ignorance, because he's not the body. If he understood, if he actually perceived that he wasn't his body, he wouldn't be entangled at all. There would be nothing to be attached to. But because of ignorance, he thinks himself to be the body, and therefore he becomes entangled. Or as it says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. Living entity is bewildered by the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are actually carried out by the three modes. Yes, that's the only auspicious. Okay. So that's auspicious, but that's not due to modern society, though, Sankirtan movement. That's wonderful if that's what the reason is. But actually, that's the reason. The real reason, though, is that the devotees are able to detach themselves from modern civilization and enthusiastically present Krishna consciousness appropriately and enthusiastically. Because we can see, not so many people are enthusiastically taking to Krishna consciousness. Many people have faith in what they're doing. Just like we may hear today, we'll hear some book scores that how many books we distributed. But if you go to the bookstores around this country even and ask them how they did during their marathon, Christmas marathon, you'll find out they probably distributed a lot more books than we did. And most of them were not about Krishna consciousness. So people do have faith in modern society. They're buying videos. They're spending a lot of money on sense gratification, not so much on Krishna consciousness. So the demigods, they may want to take birth here, I guess. But a lot of other people are taking birth here too, besides the demigods. For a different reason than the demigods, though. So it's the job of the devotees not only to enlighten the demigods to take birth, just to engage in the Sankirtan movement, but to get a few dogs and cats to dance and chant too. Other types of people have taken birth here for other reasons. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes with his associates. Because you need some shakti, some potency, because people are so dull. So he comes with his associates, and then people start dancing and chanting. So fortunately, some demigods have taken birth, and now most of the devotees are just like demigods. But now they have to get the other people to come join in too. Yeah, because they're cheaters. They're just cheaters on a big scale, that's all. Alexander the Great, conquering
the whole world at that time. He came upon one thief. His men came and they arrested him. And they were going, Alexander was going to kill him. So he said, "How dare you do this? How can you kill me?" He said, "I'm a little thief, that's true. But who are you to chastise me?" He said, "You're simply a big thief. You're going around stealing countries. I'm stealing some loaves of bread. So what's the difference between me and you?" So Alexander the Great, after hearing that, he was a little honest. So he said, "Yes, that's true." And he stopped his campaign and went home. So they steal billions of dollars, and other people, they get caught, you know, stealing a few cucumbers. But as Sariputta Prabhu said in his book, these things generally, for most, it's not public discussion. Because one person who complained, who was working on the Apollo project, one of the engineers there, he wrote a whole report to the congressman a year before the so-called first shot to the moon, complaining that the whole thing's a mess. It's all full of corruption and mistakes and cheating. And similarly, the general who was in charge of the project, he similarly complained to the Congress. And that's all on the record. So the general who was in charge of the project, who was complaining, he got promoted out of the project. And this engineer, he wound up asleep on a train track in his car when the train passed by. So certain things probably, unless you have a body made of iron, it's not very probably not so advisable in general to go around like that, or to go too deep into the investigation. Just like, I think 17 FBI agents who investigated the Kennedy assassination, they also got assassinated. So certain things are probably not open to public investigation. Anything else? Yes.
Reading books like Human Bible by Bhagavad Gita, is it good to also take time to investigate these things? Because there's a lot of tapes and books about these government things.
Yeah, but what's the difference? So you find out that the government is, something's wrong with the government. So what else is new? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? After finding out that there's something wrong with the government, what's the next thing you're going to do? Read Prabhupada's books. Anything else? Yeah.
There's much about 50 states of consciousness. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I changed my techniques, but my consciousness left behind." So is there anything in you?
Yes, you have, one has to chant Hare Krishna without offense. One actually has to take to the activities with some renunciation. As or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say, one has to take in the anchor of attachment to sense gratification. So externally changing the activities and at the same time having our minds and consciousness dwell on sense objects, Krishna says, what is that? Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmara indriyartam vimuratma mityacharas uchite. One who restrains his senses but his mind dwells on sense objects is certainly befooling himself and is called a pretender. So one has to take to the process with all sincerity and also utilize his intelligence to put the mind in Krishna consciousness. Not just change the external activities, but change our conceptions by hearing properly, by trying to understand properly, and to put the mind on Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. In other words, to give up the idea that we're the lords of material nature and actually come to a real conviction that Krishna is the proprietor and things are meant for his enjoyment. And the way he enjoys is to see other people become Krishna conscious. So to make a real effort in that direction, both to admit, to come to the conviction that I'm not the proprietor of anything and that I'm the servant of Krishna. But if we don't come to that position, we simply externally act as a devotee, but internally we're making all kinds of plans to become an enjoyer and controller, then we're wasting our time. as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he has Kunti Mala, he has Tila, but he's making plans how to steal someone else's wife. So he's Kali Chela, he said. He's actually an agent of Kali. Of course, that doesn't mean that everyone who's having difficulty in devotional service is Kali's agent. But it just means that we haven't really come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Yes. Is what?
Is it possible to chant Krishna's name by the third senses?
No. Therefore it says, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabraved Grayam Indriyai Sevam Mukehi Divado Swayam Evasparatido. But if we engage our senses, including the tongue, in Krishna's service, then the senses become purified. And one day we will be able to chant the holy name. So although we can't, chanting Hare Krishna means that when I chant Hare Krishna, to actually chant Krishna's name, I'm at once, Krishna appears on my tongue, along with its form, quality, pastimes, and associates, the whole spiritual world. So that's the holy name. So if you, when you chant Hare Krishna, if the whole spiritual world appears, well, that's good. If not, if we chant the holy name, then gradually the whole spiritual world will appear as we become purified. So it's not that it's useless, but the holy name is different from simply the letters of the alphabet. It means Krishna and everything else connected to Krishna. Just like if the sun, if you say the sun's here, it means also heat and light must be here. So if you say the holy name, I'm chanting the holy name, it means I must be enlightened and ecstatic. Otherwise, I'm not chanting exactly the holy name. Anything else? One more question. Yes.
How all those memories, how they appear to the mind?
No, the material nature is the super soul. Of course, he's ultimately telling the material nature what to do, and then the material nature does it. So, if we chant Hare Krishna and Krishna appears, that's because that's what we want. And Krishna, he's so kind, he appears. And if something else appears, that's also either it's what we immediately want, but generally speaking, it's because of our past, we're getting a reaction for what we've done in the past. So that's alright, it may appear, but the real problem is our attachment to it. The soul doesn't do anything in the material world. All he does is desire. And Krishna fulfills his desire through the material nature. So whatever we're perceiving is not our creation. It's the creation of the material nature. Or it's the creation of Krishna through his material nature. So we're not doing anything. All we're doing is desiring. We're appreciating Krishna's material illusions. Yeah, he's experiencing through those energies.
That's
right. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.